Well, kids, you can go ahead and make your way over to Kids Zone if you're up, and go have some fun this morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. How's everyone doing? Good. Is everybody thawed out? Finally. I have to agree with Keith this morning. While it was weird. It was really weird not being together last Sunday. And even though we were trying to give an alternative to a message through Facebook Live last Sunday, I agree with you, Keith. It was just a little weird. It was just a little off. But it was really unique how many of you participated in that. And we really appreciate that. And if we ever come into a situation where we have to do that again sometime, or maybe we try some different things, I encourage you, if you have a Facebook page, I encourage you to like our Facebook page. We are trying to keep that as up to date on things that are happening all throughout the week. And then we can also post videos of up and coming things and so forth. So if you do have a Facebook page and you haven't liked our Facebook page yet, please do that. And then spread the word about it. It's just a great way to connect people with one another and connect the community with one another. But it is definitely good to be back with you folks, and looking forward to how God is going to use our time together. Because last week, we actually, with that video, we kept going in this little sermon series that I've been doing regarding our mission statement and who we are going to be as a church in 2018. And if you don't know Lexington Christian Church's mission statement, it is grow in Christ, serve and love, make disciples. And we really encourage you to memorize that. If somebody asks you, well, what's your mission statement by chance, in a random blue in a conversation, you'll know it. And you hopefully will believe it and will live it out. And so last week, we actually took time to talk about serve and love. And we looked at a couple of aspects of that. And a couple of those were that in order to really serve and love, we have to abide in God's love. It's important that we stay within the Word of God as it provides us all that we need to continue to serve and love. To also follow His commands. If we really love God, we will follow the commands that Jesus sets out for us. And that Jesus set that example by not doing anything outside of His Father's will. And that is just one of the really neat bonds that Jesus had with His Father, and it's His hope that we will have the same bond with Him. And so, and also last week introduced, and I want to go ahead and introduce this now, something that we're going to be about this coming year. And that we're going to try to make strides and do things that will really put us in positions to really live this out and as we can be a part of this. And that is to love on. And you can go ahead and put up the slide there for me, Doug, if you don't mind. Next 5 weeks, starting next Sunday, we're going to be diving into a sermon series called Love On. How to love on people like the Lord loves on us. And that starts within the church, but it also is going to be really community-minded as well. And how we can, the biggest way that we can grow is for people to see that we love one another and that we love the people around us. You know, that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So next week, we're going to start diving into this sermon series. And if you are a social media person and likes to do things like hashtag this, hashtag that, I see a lot of folks that do that, I got one for you. It's called hashtag love on. And so I encourage you, if you want to start putting that around and start asking questions about that, basically all you got to do is say, well, come to Lexington Christian Church and find out what that's going to be about. So you can, if you're a social media person, you can start tagging that hashtag love on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you use for your social media outlet. Because that's what we really want to be about. How we love on people determines how God will help us grow. And so today, before we get into that, we want to look at the final phrase of our mission statement. We want to take a moment just to really dive into this. And it's one that many of us have heard over and over. At the same time, we need to recognize it's a command that we can grow into a whole lot more than where we're at. So I ask now we just take a moment and pray. as we take a look at what our mission statement is going to be about in this final phrase today. Let's pray together. Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. I come before you asking for your guidance. Come before you asking for our open hearts, open minds, open ears, that we may hear and that we may apply, that we may glean, and that we may just truly understand what it means, Lord, to make disciples. It is a phrase, God, that I know is circled around in many churches, but Lord, help us today what that means for us here as part of your kingdom work here in Lexington. Father, I just ask now that you would just guide my words and that you would just open our hearts at this moment with the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I offer this prayer. Amen. Well, I want to take us all back, now that some of the kids have moved on, I want to take us back, for most of us, to a time in our lives where probably we felt the most free, felt most joy and happiness. And that is when we were at elementary age. Any of you guys enjoyed your elementary years or can remember the time when you were in between the ages of 6 and 11? A few, handful? Some of us, maybe. It depends. For me, I know elementary was, I remember them very fondly. If I were to go back in a period in my life that I wanted to relive and just to enjoy again, it would be my elementary years. I quite honestly did not like my high school years. I don't want to relive my high school years. But my elementary years, I don't mind because they were filled with lots of fun and memorable times for me. And as an elementary kid, if I think about it this way, what would you say was the most favorite part of being an elementary student? Playing on the playground, recess, P.E., and for some of us, it's like, But most of us would agree that that was the time when we really got to hang out with our friends. We really got to hang out and spend time with one another. It was like this 15 to 30 minute window that we had. And we would just soak it up. We would all look forward to it, whether we liked to play games or just hang out. We had that opportunity to do that. And one of the most interesting games that, especially for me, I don't know if you can relate, but one of the most interesting games for me that every one of us looked forward to, especially if it was a great weather day, was the game of kickball. How many of you guys used to play kickball in elementary school? Man, that was a time-honored thing. Now, you may have just been like, man, I'm so stoked, I'm psyched to play kickball, and the rest of us are like, do I have to? Especially if it was PE when you were forced to, right? Some of us can probably relate to that. And, you know, one of the toughest things about that, though, is like, oh, I have to do this, was the time where it was time to pick the captains. And then after that, it was time to pick the team. And there was two things you were based off, three things actually based off of. Number one, how far you could kick the ball. Number two, if you were actually any good. And number three, how popular you were at the time. And so, for me, it was hit and miss. Sometimes I'd be one of the first people picked. Other times I'd be like in the middle. And then there was actually times I was actually one of the last ones to be picked. I don't know about you, maybe you can relate to one of those three areas. But, one thing you have to think about, at least you were chosen. At least you got to hang out and you got to play a little bit. It was a lot of, and like I said, in many respects, PE, recess, all those things, it was a fun time. It's fun, it's good to be chosen, isn't it? There's something about a good feeling when you are chosen to do something. So for instance, it's awesome when you are chosen to help and serve in a certain area. Somebody comes to you and asks you for help. Other times, it's good to be chosen when you get in or up for a position or a new job and they say, congratulations, we want you to come on board. Other times, it's good to be chosen when someone gets on a knee and says, will you marry me? Isn't that awesome? And then there's also those of us that when we have the winning lottery ticket, we get chosen for it. Has that happened for anyone yet? And I wouldn't be surprised if anyone raises their hand and actually answers that question. I get that. You have to play to win, right? But at the same time, this whole idea of being chosen, it does fill us up with a joy and a little bit of a period of happiness. But then let's think about it. What happens when we get chosen to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, a lot of us love the idea of being chosen by God to do something awesome for Him, or just to be chosen by God to know that He values me, He loves me. But for some of us, I think there's different feelings that come with that. I think some of us, we get excited that God would be willing to choose us and use me. And there's other times where that also brings in a feeling of nerves, a little bit of anxiety, because it's the responsibility that comes with being a disciple of Jesus. And I think for some folks, I don't know about you, maybe you might feel like that, I don't know, that's a lot of pressure. I don't know if that feels, a little fear kind of sets in. When we know that we're actually, this is a huge deal. I mean, we're helping God. We're doing something for God. But at the same time, it just feels like, am I good enough? Am I equipped enough? Will I ever really shine out? Will I ever really do anything great for God? And I think that's where fear sets in. And my hope today is that through this message, we're going to break some of those fear chains. I don't know if we'll break all of them, but I want us to put just an idea in our heads today that God wants to choose you to do something great. Maybe you feel like He has chosen you, but maybe He's ready for you to take the next step. So today I would like for you to take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 today. And one thing that I want to make known as you're turning to that is that to our Spanish folks that are here, we also for the rest of you, we've decided to start setting out many of the Bibles in the room now instead of out in the foyer. So if you ever need a Bible, especially for those of you that speak Spanish, we have Spanish Bibles on the tables if you ever want to grab those. And feel free to follow along in your Bibles in your own language. But that is one thing that we're going to want to start doing and offering. And not just the Spanish Bibles, but any other versions of English Bibles as well. If anyone wants just to follow along in the Bible, I encourage that. I think that's a great way for you to get used to being in the Bible in many respects. And last week I told you in the video that if you don't have your own Bible, number one, let me and Diane know and we will get you a Bible. But if you can't afford a Bible and you have a smartphone or a tablet, you can use the Bible app. That's made free by a church out in Oklahoma called lifechurch.tv. And they posted this online free and has multiple versions of the Bible that you can follow along with. But with that said, let's take a moment and let's dive into this blueprint for making disciples in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. I'll be reading in the English Standard Version, but follow along in your own version. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain into which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." For many of you, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. And Jesus, after he said these words, he ascended into heaven to be with God and left the responsibility of sharing this and taking this command to not only the 12 disciples, but any of those that were gathered there. And he said the specific words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This statement is the backbone statement of the church. This was the final words that Jesus left. And for these men, you have to understand why they were given this. If this was just someone randomly, I come to you and Jesus comes up to you and he says these words, you'll be like, okay, I got to do, what were these commands? How do I do this? We would just be a little bit taken back. But these men had been with Jesus for 3 years. These men walked with Jesus. They saw Jesus in action. They learned from him when they had their moments of just learning. And we are given a sneak peek of some of those things with the writers of the Gospels share some of those commands. And so for us, we have access to these. But we don't. We probably feel like, I don't know if I've had the time to invest in these commands and invest myself in doing this command, because, you know, these guys had time. They did all these things with Jesus and they were ready. They were seasoned. And that's some of the fear that we feel like, that we don't have the time, or the it's not the lack of effort, or maybe it could be the resources to make this happen. So I think for today's world, we need to sit down and think and what this word means and help alleviate some of these fears. The word disciple, it's a foreign word. In fact, we've mentioned many words in the past several weeks that are a little bit foreign to our usual tongue today. Some would even equate these are religious words, so to speak. But if you actually take a moment to break down these words, you'll understand you actually use them quite often. The word disciple itself, from the Greek, is the word mathathes. And what this word actually means is pupil, learner, scholar. You can even go to say it means student or follower. This means you are taking time to devote to learning something that's beyond who you are, you're very interested in. So for instance, let's bring this, how many of you in here or you know someone who is a builder? Someone who builds things, okay? Think about it from this perspective. Here is someone like, I think of different types of groups that do buildings and so forth, not just on the commercial level, but from a nonprofit level at the same time. Is here are people, you want to come in, you say, I want to build something. So if I want to build something, I'm going to either do one of two things. I'm going to look at the instructions and see how to do it myself, or I'm going to get someone to help me who knows a bit more about what they're doing. Now, that's if I want to build something, but this has created a spark in me where I want to actually become a builder. And so what are you going to do? You're going to research as much as you can about what it takes. Or you might even start finding someone who is an expert builder. So what I mean by this is you're taking the opportunity, you want to put yourself in a position that you're going to take the time, you're going to take the effort, and you're going to take the resources to learn how to become a builder. That's, and when I'm, as I'm saying this, probably some of you are thinking, well, this means this person wants to go to school for it. They want to go to college. And so that's definitely, you can do that. So if you think about maybe in your area, if some of you went to college, you went to college to become a specific thing. You wanted to invest yourself as much as you can. Some of you, it took 4 years, 5 years. I have a friend of mine in Alabama who actually said it took him 7 years to go through school. It depends on what you want to do. Some people want to become a nurse. Some people want to become a lawyer, a doctor. Some people want to do many other different things, be an electrician or be an architect, which is what a builder is. It's an architect. Or someone who wants to learn how to lay out plans and so forth. Somebody who wants to become a mechanic. Or anything of that nature. You want to learn and study as much as you can. You can go to college for that, or you can learn it on your own. Today, we have a fun little tool, neat little story. My brother-in-law, Luke, came to visit with his wife, me and Megan, when we were in Illinois. And during that time, Megan and I were having a yard sale, trying to find a way to make some extra money. And during that time, Megan's window wasn't working. So we either had to figure out, all right, we either had to take it to an auto shop and pay, or my brother-in-law suggested, why don't you go online and look at a YouTube video and go figure it out. I'm like, okay. So we did that. It turned out that her window was just off track. So the video, somebody took the time to actually post a video and show us how you take the panel off of the inside of the door and you screw it and find the area and help get it back on track. And I'm like, by golly, this is awesome. So we both decided that we would mess with Megan. And as we were getting ready to go leave out for dinner, she'd been really worried about this window because if you actually roll it down, we were afraid it was going to get stuck and it wouldn't go up. And so all of a sudden I decided, well, man, it's a nice night. I'm going to hit a freshener. So I hit the window and Megan's like, no, stop doing it. And she's like, wait a minute. It worked? And man, we felt so proud of ourselves and we got a good laugh out of that. It was so much fun. But the point is, you can take the time and the effort to learn something, how you want to get better at something in life. Well, in this case, I want us to introduce us to some men who decided that, you know, I'm going to take that time and effort to learn these things. You become a disciple of it. You become a student of it, a scholar of it, a learner of it. And there's some men in the Bible that when they were introduced to Jesus, they decided that it was worth the time, the effort, and the resources to follow this man. So I do want you to turn in your Bibles. Hold on to Matthew 28:16-20 there. But go to John, the first chapter, verses 35-42. Now, I could easily read this, but I decided to do a little, go an extra step this week. And I want you actually, you have a glimpse and see what this is all about. So while you can turn and read along, check out this video clip here on the screen of this exact scripture and what's going on.
The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by.
There's the Lamb of God.
The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him.
What are you looking for?
Where do you live?
Rabbi.
This word means teacher.
Come and see.
It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Once he found his brother Simon.
We have found the Messiah.
This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him.
Your name is Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas.
This is the same as Peter and means a rock.
So with this, here is Simon and Andrew. What people didn't know a lot about Andrew was that he was actually a disciple of John the Baptist. Not many people recognize that, but if you read it in your scripture there, this was someone who was following someone else, but it was John the Baptist's job to make sure he pointed people. While he had some followers, he always made sure to understand that he knew he had a purpose, and it was to point people to the Messiah. And then when Jesus made himself known to John the Baptist, he started pointing his disciples to Jesus. Now, I tell you what, that to me is amazing for this reason. You have a man who has a large gathering of people that are following him. He's baptizing people for redemption, for forgiveness. But he doesn't lord it. He recognizes his purpose. He recognizes what he was designed to do. It was his job to point people to Jesus. And he starts with Andrew and this other disciple. And then when Andrew learns and finds out that he truly is the Messiah, he immediately understands that this is worth letting other people know about. So he goes and lets his brother Simon. And later Jesus calls him Peter. Here's another group of men who also were told about Jesus. Very unique, different situations though. Check this out.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip. And said to him,
"Come with me."
Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael.
"We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth."
"Can anything good come from Nazareth?"
"Come and see."
When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, "Here is a real Israelite.
There is nothing false in him."
"How do you know me?"
"I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you."
Israel.
"Do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than this."
Two men, different experiences. One, again, Philip, who saw, looked like he recognized Jesus. He heard about this Jesus, and this was someone that it's almost like a famous person coming up before you, and you just go, "Whoa." And that's how Philip felt. And then for him, Jesus, to actually come and say to Philip, "Follow, come on, come with me." He drops everything and goes with Jesus. And then, what does he do? He's so excited that there was a person that he had to share it with. And he finds Nathanael. And Nathanael, a little skeptical when he finds out where Jesus is from, and says, "What in the world, can anything good come from Nazareth?" It's almost like you're thinking, "Well, what can anything good come out of Las Vegas? Or, you know, can anything come out of a town that you think has a reputation for something?" But here he follows Philip and then is introduced to Jesus. Jesus says there's nothing wrong with this guy. He's a devout Israelite. And through that scene there, you saw that he's a devout person. He prays to God. But during that time, he comes and finds that Jesus knew exactly where he was. It almost seemed like Philip had this really serene where nobody could bother him. And it's almost like he took this area to be and pray. And this is where Jesus goes and says, "Hey, I saw you under the fig tree." And he recognizes that no one could have seen him. And recognizes and accepts that Jesus is the Son of God. And then if you look at one more scripture with me, we'll read this one together. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Pages back if you'd like. And it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus' disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. See, Matthew was a tax collector, and in those days, tax collectors were reviled. They were given a poor reputation because the Roman government gave them the leisure to keep whatever tax money they wanted for their own purposes. And so here's Matthew, and Jesus looks at him, a sinner, and says, come and follow me. And apparently Matthew stopped what he was doing and followed Jesus. Now, these three stories all have a point. And it's this. They made it a priority to follow Jesus because they saw the value that Jesus brought to their lives. The question becomes, what can we take away from the lives of these men? How can we understand this term disciple better? And I think there's two points that I want us to get out of. And you can write this down. Number one, it takes faith to follow the calling of Jesus. Okay? It takes faith to follow the calling of Jesus. You know, it's interesting. You know, if you're a reader or you read, whether it's fiction, whether it's biographies or autobiographies, it's always neat to read about someone else's life and be inspired by their story. It's another thing, though, when it affects you personally. And it becomes yours, you get to write your own story. That's what each of these men did when Jesus said, follow me. They put their plans aside. And they decided, okay, I'm going to follow this guy. Now, let's take a hypothetical scenario for a second, okay? Hypothetical. Let's say Jesus is looking. Let's say that you are at your job. Let's say you are in class. Let's say you're at home. You're going through your routine, but you keep up with what's going on in the world. So, for instance, right now, what would we say is going on in the world? Well, right now, apparently, our government's in shutdown. Okay? So, but you hear about a man who has been making news, and his name is Jesus. He's been making some waves. Media's kind of caught on to it, so the word's gotten out. You're in the middle of your routine, you're going through your day, and you either get a knock on the door, or someone's coming to you and say, hey, somebody's looking for you. Like, okay, who is it? You're in the middle of work, you're going through your day, who in the world's trying to come and see me? At this time, maybe it's my spouse, maybe it's a friend, a family member. No, it's Jesus, the man you've been hearing about in the news. He comes, and you're right there, and he says, come follow me. And he starts to walk away. Now, in our modern world, those men were in the same situation that some of those that you just saw. They stopped everything and they followed him. I think, unfortunately, we would be conflicted. Because here's some questions that would be running in your head. Let's say you're at home. You're watching a child. You're taking care of a child. I mean, do I go get a babysitter? Maybe you're at class and all of a sudden I'm just going to leave my books. I'm just going to leave everything right here and just go. What's the teacher going to say? You know, just leave and not return. Maybe you're at work and Jesus meets you there. And all of a sudden you're thinking, well, who can I get to cover what I was doing? Who's going to cover my shift? I gotta go let my boss know. I gotta call my wife and let her know. And I've gotta call my husband, or I gotta call a significant other. And there's so many questions that I'm sure could pop right through your head and realize, man, Jesus sure is asking a lot of me to just give up everything I'm doing. And when you look at these men, it looks like that's what's happened. But think about it. All these men, we only know of some of the occupations of some of the disciples. We know 4 of the 12 were fishermen. That was their way of living. It was a commission type job where the most fish you catch, the better you get paid. There was one who was tax collector in Matthew, we just mentioned. Another was a political activist. In the Bible it says the word zealot. It was Simon the Zealot. And he believed so strongly in some of the political angles of religion. But he even took a step and started following Jesus zealously. And another who was probably had something to do with money was even Judas Iscariot. And he was in charge of the treasury for the disciples, the money collector. But for all these men, they left families. They left their jobs. And maybe they found ways to take care of themselves during those times, but they followed Jesus. Today's world's a little different, isn't it? It's a little tougher to try to be a disciple of Jesus Christ with all the demands of life. But here's what I understand the most. And it's this point here. And you can write this down. God has you right where you are for a reason. God has put you in the position in life where you are for a specific reason. And He is going to take that situation. He will use you as a disciple can be used. The way in which a blueprint works is it can work within the church. You know, I thought about my own life at one point. You know, the church helped prepare me to be where I'm at right here. But I even had questions about how that would work. At one point, I actually thought I was going to be a psychologist and be more on the counseling side of things. But God took my desire and did something more with it. And it's always, when I ever talk to people and so forth, you know, God doesn't always call everyone to preach or to be a lead person in a church. But He does call us. And He gives us the opportunity to better ourselves. My wife and I enjoy the TV series called Nashville. How many of you guys have ever watched that show before? If you haven't, it's really unique. It's a drama. There's a lot of different things that go on in it. But the main character now is played by a girl named Hayden Panettiere. And she plays the character Juliet Barnes. Juliet Barnes is a pop star, country singer. She had a lot going for her, but she didn't know how to handle her success and her fame. And she would fall into drugs, and she would fall into thinking that everything was about her. Well, they recently, without spoiling it for anybody, she's come across a situation where she's getting some help. And she's getting it from a perspective of how you look at yourself in life. And many of us, maybe we think that, you know, I don't know if I have the time to invest in myself and get better. This is what I understand about any person in life. Is that if anything is a priority, we will make the time. You'll make the effort and you'll use the resources to do it. The question you have to ask yourself is, how does the Lord fit into that mindset? Because if the Lord thought of us, how can we honor Him? The second part in this is take to heart what God's Word says. And what I mean by that take your heart, take to heart what God's word says is this. You can take to heart, or you can take to face value, or take it in faith that God is God. That Jesus is God's son. You can take to heart that Jesus is Lord of all. That Jesus performed the miracles he performed. That you can take to heart that when that Jesus went through suffering and torture and humiliation on his way to the cross. We can take it to heart that Jesus was nailed and crucified between two other criminals at the hill of Calvary, where he hung while others mocked him, asking him to come down from the cross. And if you do that, we'll believe. We can take to heart that he finally gave up his spirit and that he died a mortal death. We can also take to heart that he was raised 3 days later. We can take to heart that he showed the disciples the scars from his hands and his feet and his side. We can take to heart that he actually shared these words so that of go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, because he promised at the end, you can take this to heart, I am with you till the end of the age. The whole premise of how things work with God and with Jesus is we take it to heart. Knowing this, remember these phrases if you don't get anything else out of today. The first is to take to heart that God loves you. Okay? Take to heart that he loves you. No matter where you're at, no matter, and he loves the person that's connected to you. A family member, co-worker, a friend. A friend who's just made all crazy types of mistakes. He loves them too. The second is you can take to heart that God desires a relationship with you through his son. You can take to heart that God will never stop pursuing you, and he will never stop encouraging you, and he will never stop taking you to another step of faith. He will continue to, he wants to mold you and make you. In fact, scripture tells us that. He will continue to mold and make you into the person you should be. So take to heart that God desires a relationship with you through his son. And the final part here is you can take to heart God will call you for your role in his kingdom. He's going to call you to that. You can take to heart God will call you for the role in his kingdom. But the part that makes that happen is you simply this. You take it to heart. You take it at face value. Because if you don't, you're going to wander aimlessly. You're going to seek earthly things that falsely say this is what's best for you. And your life will be like you're in a room where you have light for now, but it starts to fade. Until that light is gone. And there's just utter darkness. And you're wondering, where am I going to find the light? How am I going to find my way? That's as simple as that. But if you take to heart who Jesus is, then light will finally shine back. And we'll be able to see again all that Jesus wants to show us. Today we have an opportunity to reevaluate where things are at. We have an opportunity to take a look at our lives and determine, do we want to take the time, the effort, and use the resources to grow God? Because here's what I understand about a disciple. A disciple isn't perfect. A disciple doesn't have it all together. a disciple of Jesus still needs forgiveness, still needs grace, still needs mercy. Because without those things, we try to do things outside of God, yeah, we are going to fail. But with God, we have assurance and hope that He is always with us. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're doing, it's not about trying to fit God into your schedule, okay? It's about making Him a part of your life and seeing how everything else you're connected to is going to flow from there. All it takes today now is a choice if you need to do that, or if you need prayer today to reevaluate. Start 2018 well. Join us. Partner with us in growing in Christ, serving and making disciples. That's what we need to be about in 2018. And it's my prayer that if you want to help make that choice, that you'll step out in faith and do that. Let's stand and sing. And the people that you'll be around this week. So one thing I want to announce real quick is just a reminder, if you weren't here for the announcement time, we are doing a potluck lunch next Sunday. But we will need a little help in bringing everything. So we'll need some entrees, we'll need some side dishes, we'll need desserts and drinks. If you want to bring a little bit of everything, that will help out with that. We greatly appreciate it. So next Sunday we will do a potluck lunch afterwards. So make plans, invite someone to join us. And at this time, let's have a word of prayer. And again, thank you so much for being here today. Father, we just come before you and thank you for all that you do for us. And thank you for being with us. Being a disciple is not an easy thing, God. But we know that you're calling us to that. And that, God, we want to be able to serve and love the people around us. And share with them about the love of Jesus Christ for whatever they're going through in life. So, Lord, be with us and give us the boldness and courage and strength to do so. And we love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.